Perhaps the most pressing issue for the United States regarding instability in Turkey is determining the status and safety of NATO's largest nuclear weapons arsenal, the Incirlik Air Base in southeastern Turkey, which has been active since the invasion of Iraq in 2003 and is currently conducting airstrikes in Syria, is just about 70 miles from the Syrian border. The bombs are part of an unintentional Cold War museum, though, left over from the 70s and 80s. There aren't even any aircraft capable of delivering those nuclear weapons stored at Incirlik. So why are they even in Turkey, and who's responsible for them? Eric Schlosser is the author of Command and Control, Nuclear Weapons, the Damascus Accident, and the Illusion of Safety.
We're talking about hydrogen bombs. The estimates are there are about 50 American hydrogen bombs stored at the Incirlik air base in Turkey, and the power was immediately cut off to that base. All flights in and out of the base were shut down, and it's a pretty unusual situation to occur at a facility with that many nuclear weapons, with any nuclear weapons, really.
Forgetting for the moment, or putting aside for the moment, the sense of what are the rules for Turkey regarding those nuclear weapons, what is NATO's set of rules regarding the security and storage of those nuclear weapons? Can any NATO nation, take them out, check them out, like in the library or something?
Well, they're not supposed to. We have American nuclear weapons in five countries in NATO, and technically they're American weapons, and they're only supposed to be taken out and used with our permission. The problem is that at these bases, the security of these weapons for these weapons is provided by the host country. Now, Belgium, for example, has been recently a hotbed of ISIS activity, and yet at an air base in Belgium, we have nuclear weapons. There was a major security breach at that air base in 2010 when some peace activists were able to sneak into the base, sneak into the buildings where the nuclear weapons were stored, and wander around. And when they were finally caught, they were caught by a Belgian soldier whose rifle seemed to be unloaded from the YouTube video that was posted online. So, you know, we really need to remember that these nuclear weapons are there and maybe have a national dialogue about why they're there and how well they're being protected.
Barring that dialogue, is there any monitoring of the weapons from the United States or from the Pentagon, or is it a matter of you have to call up the base and ask somebody if they know where all the nukes are?
Well, I'm sure it was a very tense situation in Turkey because, you know, the United States at that air base has the Air Force has planes, and we've been flying missions against ISIS. It's worth keeping in mind that the Incirlik base is only about 70 miles away from Syria and from a rebel-controlled area of Syria where ISIS is active. Now, we have planes at that base, and we have a munitions support group that's supposed to be looking after the weapons, but it's not a very large group of American forces there versus, you know, how many Turkish soldiers are on that base. As of yesterday, the power was still cut off at the base. They're a symbol of American support for Turkey, for NATO. The problem is they're not just symbols, they're actual weapons. And there's real concern that they could fall into the wrong hands.
One of these hydrogen bombs that you've described is a very unique weapon in that the tonnage, the kilotonnage, can be dialed up or down. And it could be deployed in a very customized basis. And I'm just wondering, you know, is this an ideal kind of a weapon for a terrorist?
Well, you know, any nuclear weapon would be an ideal weapon for a terrorist. These hydrogen bombs, they're called B-61 bombs, have a special dial-a-yield feature. So depending on the mission, you can have them, by rate of comparison, the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima had the explosive force of about 15,000 tons of TNT, so 15 kilotons. The bombs that are in Turkey range anywhere from 3/10 of a kiloton to 170 kilotons, so more than 10 times more powerful than the Hiroshima bomb. And it's hard to see what their actual military mission would be. I mean, if you really want to strike a target in the year 2016 quickly, you use a missile. A missile is faster. A missile is more reliable because it can't be shot down. and the missiles more accurate.
Was there an explicit concern or response at any level at the Pentagon about the status of those weapons at this point?
The Pentagon won't acknowledge that those weapons are there. The concern that I heard about the status of these weapons was I wrote a book on nuclear weapons. I had sources for that book who were weapons designers. One of the sources helped design the underground vaults where these weapons are stored. Another is a former Air Force general who was assigned to NATO. And they raise real questions about why those weapons are there and how securely they're being guarded, especially at this Turkish air base.
Finally, is it widely understood in southern Turkey and in Syria that those weapons are there?
Absolutely. It's widely understood in Turkey that they're there. And one of the real problems is that when the Cold War ended, in the American public in particular, there was the sense that this nuclear danger went away. But it never really did. And there are still thousands of these weapons out there. And we need to really think about where they're being kept, how they're being kept, and whether we still need them there.
Eric Schlosser is the author of Command and Control, Nuclear Weapons, the Damascus Accident, and the Illusion of Safety. A film based on that book will be out in September. Eric, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.